Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Paul is writing. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated. It is good to see you today. We're wrapping up our series in the book of Galatians. We've called this series Set Free, and Paul has been hammering home to us for about six chapters now what it means to be free, to be set free, that we come to Jesus Christ by faith alone, not because of our faithfulness, but only because of Jesus Christ and us placing our faith in Him alone. In chapter 5, he tells us that, okay, this is true, but now there is some faithfulness that is going to tell us and help us to see what it means to have faith. If you have faith, your life is going to bear forth something. In these last little bit of verses here, verses 11 through 18, as Paul begins to close, he uses the C word a lot, you know. He talks about circumcision a whole lot. But that's not the focus of what this passage is all about right here. The focus of this passage is about what in and of our lives, what does our life boast? Did you notice he used the word boast in there a couple of times? We're in the season of boasting, whether it's in football, politics, or social media. You know, we talk about, we are boasting or bragging about something all the time. In fact, it would be really easy for me to start boasting about the four grandchildren that I have. Hey, let me stop here for a moment. I asked you to pray last week. Little Willa got to come home on Monday evening. She got to go home. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. She went to see her own doctor, her pediatrician, on Tuesday and said, basically, this is a normal little baby. So thank the Lord for that. And thank you for praying for her. And I can show you about 200 more pictures after this if you'd like to see. That would be my boasting and my bragging. You know what the word boast means, don't you? The word boast means to have joy in or to exalt or to find your confidence in. Now, I want to make sure and say this. What Paul is wanting us to see here, and he's pointing some attention to, and he's asking this question of us, just like he asked it of the Galatians. What are you boasting in? What is your life pointing towards? Where are you finding your confidence? Where are you finding your joy? And he's going to point out a couple of things here that I want us to make sure and see. He's wanting us to see, I believe, a couple of things in this. It could be 100 other things. This is the word of the Lord, all right? But two things that I want to draw out of this passage today is this, is that we have been set free. We have been set free from boasting in ourselves, and we've been set free to boast in the Savior. Our lives are either going to boast in self or in the Savior, and that's what I want us to begin to look at today. In fact, what Paul is saying and has been saying for the past six chapters is that the false teachers, the Judaizers, they are boasting and using you, and you don't even see it. Notice in verse 11 what he does here. Austin read the passage, so I'm not going to be going all the way through the passage again by reading all the verses, but I want you to see them. What he says here in verse 11 is he says this, basically, hey, give me the pen. Basically, he says, hey, give me the pen. The letter has been dictated. And now then he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Paul was a man who had gone through many infirmities. You remember how he came to Christ, don't you? On the road to Damascus, his eye, it said that he was blinded. There was something like shingles that fell from his eyes. Many people think that he had a visual impairment. You read in Acts where when he came to the region of Galatia and he went to share the gospel, he was beaten, he was stoned. In fact, in one little town, he was left for dead. Drug outside, had stoned him, they left him for dead. It says the next day he got up and he walked back into the city and began to preach again. Most theologians believe while he was in this Galatia area, he was either struggling from malaria or typhus, some sort of ailment. And so he would have a secretary, someone who he would dictate a letter to. They would write it. This was a common practice for Paul. And now then, he's at the end of the letter, and he's going to summarize basically the entire chapter in these few verses. He speaks to things in chapter 3. He talks about chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 5 in a compact little area. And he starts out by saying, hey, I'm writing to you, so listen up, basically, if you'll take my paraphrase. And he starts out by talking about boasting in self. And he's pointing out how the Galatians, these false teachers, are boasting in them. They're boasting in their flesh. Look what he says in verse 13. In verse 13, he says, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They're wanting to boast in them. Basically, he says this. Hey, Galatians, wake up. You're being used. You're being used. There are people who are boasting. They are using you for their own self-glory. That's what boasting also means. It's specifically in this Greek passage here, before it was translated, it means to glory. It says they want to glory in their own glory. They're using you. Notice in verse 12, it says those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. Whose flesh? In your flesh. It's like you're a tick box here. Got another one. We've destroyed this church. Listen, you know, they claim to be Christian, but their job was, they were going around saying it's Jesus plus the festivals, Jesus plus the feast, Jesus plus circumcision. And he's saying, listen, they are using you. They're using you. They're using you for their own glory. They want to boast in you. They want to glory in you only so that they might receive glory. He's exposing their hypocritical motives. That's what he's doing. He's pulling back the curtain. Do you realize the longer you walk with Christ, the longer you walk with Christ, the more you mature in your faith. These deeds of the flesh in chapter 5, the more you mature, you may not struggle with the deeds of the flesh like sensuality and sexual immorality, but then you begin to struggle with motives and why am I doing this? Am I doing this for my glory or am I doing this for the glory of God? And the scripture tells us that anything that doesn't proceed from faith, from the glory of God, is sin. And so what he wants us to begin to see, just like he is wanting the Galatians to see, is that these false teachers, these Judaizers, their motives are impure. They're using you for their own glory. Not only are they boasting in you for their own glory, they're boasting you for their own good. Look at the rest of verse 12. Verse 12, he says, only in order, why are they doing this? Only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Listen, they themselves didn't want to just bow their knee to the cross of Christ. They added all of these other things. Because if they bowed their knee to the cross of Christ alone and said, listen, I'm forsaking all others, their leaders would begin to persecute them. Do you realize there is no persecution in talking about church, talking about spiritual things? You realize the entire world is spiritual, don't you? Everything is spiritual. The scripture tells us that the offense of the gospel is the cross. It's Jesus Christ. When you start talking about Jesus and the demands and the claims and the exclusivity of Christ, you open yourself up to be persecuted. And he says to them right here, he says, Galatians, wake up. They are using you for their own glory. They don't even want to be persecuted for the cross. Listen, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to put marks in the flesh of the Galatians to say, listen, here's another one, here's another one. Do you know what the gospel is for you and me? According to the scripture, Isaiah 53 tells us that it is by his wounds, by his stripes, by the marks on his body that we are healed. It's by his marks, not any mark that I put on my body, on my flesh. And this was coming from a man who had the mark that they say was essential for salvation. And Paul says, no, it's not that mark. It's the mark of Christ, of him alone. The gospel is that you are healed by his wounds, the mark of the crown of the thorns, the mark in his hands, the mark in his feet, the mark on his side, him dying on the cross for you and me, him being put into a grave, raising 3 days later, ascending to the Father. Those marks are what give us freedom. Not what the false teachers want you to believe, not what the false teachers preach today. Do you realize that our world is still full of false preachers, don't you? False teachers. In the church and out of the church. And you know what the false teachers want you to do? Is they want you to line their pockets. They want you to follow their rules. They want you to follow their philosophies. They want you to follow their own methodologies. And I want you to hear me. A false teacher only wants you for what you are good to them. The question today is this, is are we recognizing that? He says, listen, guys, Galatians, they want to boast in you only out of impure motive. They want to boast in you. They want to glory in you for their own glory. They want to glory in you for their own good. They want to glory in you for their own goals. Look at 13, verse 13. He says, they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They had a goal to get everyone circumcised. Listen, my hope and my prayer is that everyone in here comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My hope and my prayer is that all of you are baptized as followers of Jesus Christ. My hope and my prayer is that you are, whatever the next spiritual goal is, but I need you to hear me. It's not so that this church can look good or our ministry looks good. It's so that Jesus is glorified. Our goal is to decrease so that Jesus might increase. This is what our whole life should be about. This is why you're placed here. This is why you were saved. This is why the Lord placed faith in you. It's not so that you can continue to build your platform, so that you can continue to build your name, so that you can continue to build your kingdom and your empire. It's so that we have the opportunity to build the kingdom of God. And he says, listen, they want to boast in you so that they then can boast in themselves. Do you know what is scary for a believer? You may go, is there anything that should be scary for a believer? I think there is something that is really scary as a believer. What is really scary to me as a believer is to be claiming that I am living for the goals of God, that I'm living for the good of God, and that I'm living for the glory of God, but my life not live that out and show that forth. Listen, all throughout this passage, remember, he didn't write in chapters and verses, he wrote as a letter, and so he's tying back again to chapter 5. What we have is chapter 5. He is speaking about, again, the flesh, and the flesh and the spirit, they war against one another. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and the things I do want to do, I find myself not doing them. He says in chapter 8, but thanks be to God that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about the direction of your life consistently being headed towards the glory of God, the good of God, the goals of God. Or is the goal and the glory and the good of your life to terminate on you so that you look good in self? And I want to say this to you. You realize that your life is always going to show what you're boasting about. It always will. The seed that you plant will spring up. It doesn't matter. I can say I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, I'm an apple tree, but if I produce oranges, I'm not an apple tree. You can say, I'm living for the glory of God, I'm living for the glory of God, I'm living for the glory of God, for the good of God, the good of God, the goals of God, the goals of God. But if your life is lived out and it's producing sensuality, sexual immorality, division, bitterness, anger, strife, fits of rage, there's a question that has to come forth. Listen, I can get angry. You can too. There may have been a time when you've even flown off the handle. Thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit who dwells within me convicts me, and I have to go and seek forgiveness first from Him. Thank you, God, that you've already forgiven me. You paid for that on the cross, but I recognize the way that I just acted was foolish. It didn't honor you. And then I have to go and not just, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, will you forgive me? See, that's the fruit of the Spirit that begins to dwell up. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Folks, what you're proclaiming, my question is does the fruit of your life speak louder than what your mouth is saying? Because if it is, if your life is marked with self, and I want you to hear this, the deeds of the flesh always scream, hey, look at me. They always do. They always do. But the fruit of the Spirit says there's something different about that person. In Matthew, Jesus said, they will see your good deeds, and then they will say, what is this? And then you will give glory to your Father in heaven. You see, the fruit of the Spirit points to the Savior, but the deeds of the flesh, they boast of self. And the question today, and let me stop here for a minute. Do you realize that the world today wants to co-opt you? The world, its philosophies, its mantras, its theology. And believe me, the world has a theology. And they want to co-opt you for their own desires, their own goodness, what they view as goodness. They want to co-opt you. And I want you to know, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, the world is not for you, it is against you. And they want to use you. The question at hand, though, is are you recognizing it? See, this is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. He says, don't be deceived. Wake up. They want to use you. But thanks be to God, you've been saved by faith in Christ alone. Whatever is at the core, whatever owns you at the core, will burst forth as fruit. You don't have to try to work it up. It's going to burst forth. So Paul says, listen, who are you boasting in? Who are you boasting in? The Galatians, listen, who are you boasting in, Galatians? Riverdale, who are you boasting in? Listen, the Judaizers, Galatians, they make much of you for their own selves. Listen, you know what's amazing? Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13 real quick. In verse 13, Paul with his own hand writes, and he says, listen, they want to do this to you, and they don't even keep the law. They're trying to make you live. This is him saying, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. You've been set free. Do not go back. Stand firm in the place you've to what you've been called, Galatians. I want to say to us at Riverdale, listen, stand firm in the word of God that He's given you. Take heart. You have no reason to fear any man. You know why? Because if the Lord is for you, who can be against you? And you may say, Kyle, I mean, really? Yeah, listen, I have to hear this word. In the day and time, the Lord is looking for us to stand in this day and not boast in self, but boast in the Savior. Have you ever stopped to examine and look at your social media platform? I always come back to this because today it is, back in the day, I would always talk to somebody about, hey, listen, you can always tell about who's first in your life by pulling out your checkbook. All the young kids today say, what's a checkbook? today, who are you boasting in? Get a look at your social media platform. Are you boasting in self? Hey, look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at my family. Look at all of this. And you may go, Colin, can I post about my family? Well, my question is, what's the motive are you posting about your family? Is it to make you look good, or is it to bring glory to God? Or is it, I'm going to boast in the Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to be really careful here. I'm going to just a little side. You realize it's easy to post scripture and church and all that kind of stuff, and your heart still be far away. This is the danger. This is why we have to always be self-examining. Lord God, what are my motives? What am I doing? What are you wanting? Lay me bare. Lay me bare. So then Paul goes to number two. It's like he takes his pen, that quill, he dips it, and then he begins to write again. Look at verses 14 and 15. He's going to talk about being set free to boast in the Savior. No longer, you're set free. You don't have to boast in yourself, but you're set free to boast in the Savior. In fact, I want to read verse 14. He says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What Paul's doing right here is he is contrasting. This is what the false teachers are boasting in. This is what they're joying in. Their confidence is in your flesh, not in their own. They want to save their own hide. They don't want to be persecuted. They want to co-opt you. And Paul says, no. Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Just him and him alone. Now, this would have been a radical statement in that day. Huge radical statement. You know why? Because in the day in which Paul lived, in the day in which Paul wrote, the cross was repugnant. We wear crosses all over around our neck. We have them on little dangles on our arms. Men don't wear those, all right? But wear them around your neck. You got them in your house. I mean, we glory in the cross today. But you realize in that day, the cross was repugnant. It was meant for lawbreakers. It was a place of grotesque death. It was a place of humiliation. It was a place where the only people that hung on crosses were those who were enemies of the state. And Paul says, this is what I glory in. I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. You realize he's already said this once, don't you? In Galatians 2:20, you remember that passage? For I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by the cross of Christ. Listen. He says, I've been crucified. And notice how he says this. He doesn't start with, I'm dead to the world. He starts with saying, the world is dead to me. Do you realize when you identify with Jesus Christ, when you identify with the cross of Christ, when you, I don't just mean lip service. I mean when you come out and you begin to live like Jesus lived. You're not perfect. Jesus is the only one that's perfect. When God looks at us, he sees the perfection of Jesus, not the perfection of Kyle. Because there ain't no perfection in Kyle. But when we identify with Jesus and we begin to live after him, our life begins to boast in the Savior, not in self. Do you realize that you are now an enemy of the darkness of evil? You know, the scripture tells us that you're either of the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. Now, Paul is going, Galatians, wake up. Wake up. I've got seven verses to sum it up. You no longer live for self, and they want to abuse you. That's what they want. You now live for the cross of Christ. You glory in Jesus, and the world does not like me anymore. You know why? Because I'm against their philosophies. I'm against their methodologies. The enemy of light, the darkness, has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. In fact, if he can grab Christians, coming to 21st century, if he can grab Christians and take his philosophies, and he can take his methodologies. He can take his ideologies and make you laugh about them and entertain you with them. He will desensitize you. You will begin to become entertained by them. Your defenses come down. They will point to one story, tug your heartstring, and then co-opt you for everything else. And brother, I want to tell you, I need you to understand, we do not live for self. We do not boast in self. We boast only in Jesus Christ, and we have to stand firm in the place that he's put us in this day and time. You know, you want me to speak about sin. You want me to speak and encourage you about evangelism. You want me, well, maybe you don't want me to talk to you about tithing and giving and generosity. But I'm your pastor. You expect, okay, he's going to do this. He's going to do this. Well, what I want to put a caveat here with for just a few moments is this. Folks, I'm asking you, I'm calling you in the words of Jeremiah, living as exiles, that we are to pray for the peace of the city that we're in, pray for the welfare. We're to seek the welfare of the city, plant gardens, take wives, find daughters and sons, and find husbands and wives for them, build up houses, pray for the welfare of the city, because when you pray for the welfare of the city and you seek the welfare of the city, that it will go well with you, Jeremiah says in 29. You remember what we all love this one, and that, anybody want to finish it up? How about I just read it to you? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon the Lord, come to me, and you will pray. You call upon me, you will come and pray, and I will hear you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. All of that is in the context of seeking the welfare of the city. I want to implore you to go vote. You are seeking the welfare of our city. You are standing against self when you go vote. We have a right in this country to go vote. We have a right. It is a civic duty. Some of you are wondering, are you about to tell me how to vote? I'm sure not going to tell you how to vote. No, I'm not. Not going to do it. But I am going to tell you, you need to take your Bible and figure out who stands for life. Who stands for righteousness? And I need you to hear me. There's no party that does that. I want to make sure you hear me. It's not that simple. But I can tell you that you need to look at the Word of God. And then you need to go and vote. This is part of seeking the welfare of our country. As believers, we are called to stand for the Savior. And I believe there's a way you can do that faithfully in our political society today. Because I want you to hear this. The world and its philosophies, the world and its methodologies, the world and its ideologies, they want to co-opt believers. Both parties. They want to co-opt believers. Folks, we've got to look at the Word of God. We've got to go into our prayer closets and say, Lord God, how do I stand for you in this? How do I do this? Lord God, I love you, and I want to live for you. Some of you are really tight right now. I get that. But I'm going to ask you, would you stand in this day? Would you make it a principle? Would you make it an obligation point? Go and vote. Go vote. No longer, Paul says, am I fearful of man. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, they no longer rule me. Why? Because I'm not living and boasting in self. I'm boasting in the Savior. My confidence is in the cross of Jesus. It is by his crucifixion that now I have been crucified. It is no longer I, but I can now live. There's no hold on me anymore, Paul says. There's no hold on me. Not only has the world been crucified to me, but I've now been crucified to the world. And I can stand. Notice what he says in verse 15. Verse 15 is really good, I believe. He says, for it's neither circumcision that counts for anything nor uncircumcision that counts for anything, but it is a new creation. Circumcision, Jew. Uncircumcised, Gentile. And he says, it doesn't matter if you have a mark in the flesh. It doesn't matter if you don't have a mark in the flesh. Jesus came to reconcile both so that there would be a new creation that happens. A new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 say this, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is a new creation? If you're in Christ. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. The new has come. As a new creation, we now boast only in the Savior. Only in Him. Not in our platform. Not in our well-doing. Not in our finances. Not in our family. But only in Jesus. This is the new creation. The new creation that Moses pointed towards. This is the new creation that Jeremiah prophesied for. This is the new creation that was begun when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected again. This is it. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, but by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. You see, it's not an outward mark of the flesh. It's an inward mark of the heart that we've been changed. And then Paul closes by encouraging them in verse 16 and 17. Really, he begins to apply now. He says, and as for all who walk by this rule. What rule? It's a rule of life. The way my life looks. No longer do I follow the deeds of the flesh. I follow the fruit of the Spirit. No longer am I glorifying in self. I'm glorifying in the Savior. He says, for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy. Peace and mercy be upon you. If you look back in chapter 5 at the fruit of the Spirit, it closes out and says, against these things there is no law. There is no law. There is no reason for you not to have peace when you are walking in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. He says, there's no law. Peace and mercy upon you. And verse 17 to me is like Paul's mic drop. Look what he says. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. He says, listen, I've been talking to you. I've been pleading with you. I've presented a case for you. I'm done. He says, why am I done? He says, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Listen, I've been beaten. I've been stoned. Listen, I have the mark that they want you to take, and it is of nothing. I have nothing. I'm walking. I'm glorifying. I'm sacrificing. I'm boasting only in Jesus. Let me ask you this. He says, he bears the mark of Jesus. Let me ask you this, who marks your life? Is it self or is it Savior? Well, what are you boasting in? Are you boasting in your self-sufficiency or are you boasting only in the Savior? I want to be careful. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about the direction of your life. What does that look like? What are the signs? What are those marks of Jesus? You realize if you have faith, it must be shown out in faithfulness at some point. You're not saved by your faithfulness. You're saved by your faith. But faith always produces some type of work, some type of faithfulness. Well, number one, let me make sure and say this. It's a killing of the deeds of the flesh, and it's a feeding of the fruit of the Spirit. I've had multiple conversations this week with people about how Listen, I have this thing over here that I keep battling. I keep telling the enemy to get. I've pointed out a couple of times. Listen, that's not your job. Your job, the scripture tells us in James chapter 5, that we submit to God, we resist the devil, he flees. Do you know how you resist the devil? You submit to God. You submit to God, and in your submission to Him, in the midst of your struggle, in your trial, you submit to Him, and your submission is a resistance to the enemy. And as you resist, he flees. He'll leave. You see, your focus is in the wrong place. If you're all you're doing is trying to figure out how do I keep quit doing the deeds of the darkness, listen, you need to turn to the light. Come to the light. Come to the light. Let me ask you, if you pulled out your calendar, if you pulled up your Apple calendar and you looked at today, of Jesus on it, well, you sure it does. You're sitting in church today. That literally, that's a mark of the Lord. Let me ask you, will it have a mark tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday? What will it look like to be marked by Christ each day of the week? What does your week look like where you're saying, man, I follow Jesus with this? What does your family look like? Is it marked with grace and humility and honor and forgiveness and mercy? Is it marked with the fruit of the Spirit? What do your finances look like? Literally, what do your finances look like? Does it say, listen, it's all about me? Or does it say, no, Lord, it's you first? And I really did mean it a little while ago. What does your social media presence look like? Does it say it's all about me, or does it say it's about the Savior? I'm boasting only in the Savior. You know what the great thing is? Look at verse 18. Verse 18, just like he started this whole book out talking about peace and mercy and grace. He ends it this way. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. You know what the grace of the Lord is? Here's the grace of the Lord. You don't have to be perfect because he was. You know what the grace of the Lord is? Is that he fully accomplished all that the Father called him to do. You know what the grace of the Lord is? Is that when he heard the Father speaking, he obeyed. He was perfect, so I don't have to be. He was perfect because I couldn't be. He laid his life down in place of my life, in place of your life. That is the grace of the Lord. And today he extends that to you. And he extends it to you freely. To all who will come. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says this. For all, that means everyone. All who call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one. We boast in him and him alone. Lord Jesus, we love you. We magnify you today. And I ask, would you, Lord, even though this sermon ends, would you continue to do a work in lives today? Jesus, we magnify you. And I'm asking, would you save people? Would you bring them from death to life? Would you open blind eyes so that they might spiritually see you and respond? I thank you for faith. And faith that brings freedom. Freedom from death. Freedom from a way of life. Freedom from myself. Jesus, today, have your way in this room. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would save people. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things today. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand around the room. Zion and these guys.